This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This hour is brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. If you have a grocery store or liquor store and you want to go self-checkout, why not? Walmart's doing it, Home Depot, Costco, and they're not doing it, you know, to lose money. Check these guys out. Southwest Point of Sale. They do this for over 20 years experience. They'll come out to your business, take a look. If it works, it's not going to cost you any more than what you'd pay for a cash register. Southwest Point of Sale. 1-800-540-2149. 7 day a week, 24-hour day service. Give them a try. Also, Black Forest Motorsports, BMW, Porsche, and Mini customers. Great dealer alternative. Plus, if you want to go racing, they can take care of that for you too. Over 40 years experience. BlackForest.com. Well, Sunshine, who do you have in as your guest today?
Well, I got to tell you, I've been lucky enough to know this guy my entire life.
Yes.
To put into perspective what makes him tick, here's a conversation we've had for decades. Hey, Dad, what'd you do today? Went for a ride. Cool. Did you ride your mountain bike, your dirt bike, your street bike, or your horse? Because this guy's got, yeah, many passions. If he's not riding, he's probably working magic in the kitchen because he's a great chef. And if he's not doing that, you might catch him reading. He's an avid reader.
Yeah.
And so with that said, he is here today because he made you a promise.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
In fact, I suggested it when your guest canceled out today.
He's like,
what are we going to do? Yeah. Who are we going to get to interview? I says, well, I know this old guy gave a book to.
Please welcome Mark Gassert. I get to call him Dad, and many of his race buddies call him Corn Fed.
Yes, corn.
Welcome, Dad.
I got to remember that. How you doing, Pops?
I'm doing good. Here to do my book report.
Yes, and you will be graded because I know a teacher.
Well, it's funny because I have a book report on two books.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is the one you gave me, Valentino Rossi and all his races. And then the other one I just read by a dirt tracker called, Gazing at the Moon.
Oh, gosh.
In Turn 4. Oh, yeah. There's that one, too.
He's coming out of turn two. Hey, but anyway, geez, between the two of you.
I never said that. I haven't brought the moon up.
In like maybe six interviews.
I'm impressed.
Oh, my gosh, you too. Let it go.
I want to read that book.
Let it go. Brendan, I have a song for you when we come out of commercial. Let It Go by the Frozen movie.
Oh, I don't want to hear that. So I didn't realize you were an avid reader. I knew you were an avid motorcycle enthusiast, and I really didn't know that you were a Valentino Rossi
fan
to the point where you have your own jammies with his number on it.
Well, the helmet,
there's
jammies.
That's what you told me. He said he has jammies to match.
Do you?
No.
No, he put his helmet on though, and I handed him that.
You sure could.
I bought one of those helmets that he had.
Right.
The one called Dreamtime. I get it out of the box. My wife goes, "You're not going to wear that thing, are you?" I go, "No, I wear good helmets. This one's just crazy looking."
This was pretty.
But it was an unbelievably good helmet for like $180.
Yeah.
But the paint job, Dreamtime on it, is classic Rossi.
Right.
Because it's all over the place.
What's that?
For people who don't know who Mr. Valentino Rossi is, why don't you give him a little backdrop?
All right. So Valentino Rossi is possibly, will go down in history as one of the greatest motorcycle racers ever.
Right.
With Agostini, Mike the Bike, and those guys like that. And so that's when you gave me this book. I was all about reading it because I liked the guy.
And you had never read it before.
No, I hadn't read this before.
Did you learn anything in that book that you didn't maybe know? Because that's why I read a lot about Dale Earnhardt, because he's 1,000% my idol. So I try to read. Every time something comes out, I read it to see if I learn anything from it that I didn't know.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about this book is you can kind of read it in parts. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, every time you get a book like this with pictures,
yeah,
the first thing you do is sit down, make a cocktail, and look at all the pictures.
Right.
And then read the captions.
Right.
Well, that'll take you a couple days.
Exactly.
And then at the beginning of all the chapters, there's anecdotal stories.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about this book, it was written by Matt Oxley. Mm-hmm. Well, Matt Oxley is a racer himself. So the way he writes
perspective.
Is a conversational style of how racers talk to each other. So if you're a motorcycle racer, this thing will even make you more cracked up every time you're... Because he writes like he speaks.
I love that.
Yeah, right? And so then if you nerd out... You can read about every single race that Rossi had.
Right, specs,
during the season. Like, for instance, if you ever need a pick-me-up, you can always turn to the back
mm-hmm.
and read about him throwing Marquez on the ground, which always cracks me up. But
he's not the biggest fan of Mark Marquez.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah.
He doesn't have his helmet.
No.
Who would?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, there's all great anecdotal stories. Like the way that Rossi and Jeremy Burgess, in 3 days, when Rossi went back to Yamaha, fixed that Yamaha that had been throwing people off for a couple years. It's the craziest story ever. Apparently, the engineers had put servos or something on the wheels so that when the wheels are off the ground, for instance, when the back wheel is off the ground during braking, it would cause it to spin more, and so that when the wheel came back down, it didn't come back down too slow
mm-hmm. right.
and cause them to pitch off. Well, Rossi goes out and rides the thing and says, this thing wants to throw me off and it turns. Well, they come to find out that through the ECU, when the they went into the braking points and the rear wheel was off the ground and it was sending a little bit of power to the rear wheel to spin it. Well, it was also sending power to the front wheel.
Oh.
Which is probably a bad thing.
You think?
Yeah. So they're like, how could... Anyway, they're out there scratching their heads in the garage.
But it takes somebody that knows a motorcycle from A to Z.
Inside and out, yeah.
Yeah.
Inside. And not that he's a computer geek. He just says
he can
he's
feel
just,
everything.
He's just feeling it.
And then the second, they fixed this bike in 3 days. And so the second thing they found out, because he goes, okay, though that's better. It's not trying to throw me off and it turns anymore. But he says, the thing loses power mid turn in the corner now. And so that's what they found out then when they were getting that hard on the brakes. The fairing was coming down and pinching this rubber intake to the fuel to the motor and shutting all the shutting all the air off to the motor, so the motor was dying mid turn.
Oh my.
Awesome.
So this Burgess guy is known to be exactly opposite of a computer geek. Like when he took over, he's like, get all these computers out of here. But it's funny, he said when he went to the Japanese engineers and said, hey, I want you to raise the bike. And they go, well, okay, usually we raise it like 3 or 4 millimeters. He goes, yeah, I want you to raise it 15 millimeters. And they're like, what? And so after they did that, he started going fast again because the thing wasn't trying to throw him off. Mm-hmm. But he'd been throwing people off for years.
And just thinking, and nobody else, yeah.
Was he able to communicate, you know, when others couldn't communicate?
Right.
Or was he being listened to because of who he was?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
What do you think, both?
I don't know. It's weird. Well, here's the thing. I mean, you would think that the smartest guys that work at Yamaha work in MotoGP.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, you know that over years of being around racers. There's guys that can go fast.
Yeah.
And then there's guys that know how to make things go
fast. Knows how to go fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's guys that can drive things that don't go fast. Go fast.
Yeah.
So, it's that thin, fine line. I mean, if you look at the crop of riders coming up, I don't care if it's motorcycles or cars, you can see the fast ones.
Before we go into commercial break, would you clearly say the name of this book and again the author?
Valentino Rossi, All His Races by Matt Oxley.
Perfect. And you would recommend that as a good read?
Oh, absolutely. Because you can,
Yeah. Because you know what? You know the beauty of that book is that you can read it again and again and again. Or like you said, just go to a certain time of his life and read that.
Yeah, but I mean, you want to read it in part. You can read it all the way through. But if you, I read it by pictures and captions and thought, hey, that's great. And then I read all the...
Which made now the captions and the pictures more relevant.
Then I read all the anecdotal stories like the one I just said about those guys fixing. Yeah, and there's a bunch of them in there at the beginning of every chapter.
It's called motorcycles.
And then I never geek out enough to read about every race. But the only reason I read about some of the races is this Matt Oxley is so hilarious to read.
Well, see, and that's right.
He makes it funny.
That's perfect. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back a whole lot more right here on Racer Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Elk Cajon Ford, where absolutely nobody treats you better than Elk Cajon Ford. Whether you're looking for new or used, Elk Cajon Ford will have it. Service, they'll work on every car in your driveway. That's right. Go to ElkCajonMotors.com. Check out their inventory. And thank them for supporting Barona Circle Track. We got Mark Rose on the line, and he's going to talk a little bit about what Mother Nature decided to do concerning remodeling Barona Speedway. It's probably a three-level racetrack now instead of a one-level. How you doing, Mark?
Good, thank you. How are you guys?
We're doing just fine.
Good. I tell you what, all this talk about Supermoto and Rossi, it makes me want to get my bike back out of the garage. But again, Mother Nature has messed that up too. But little update on Barona Speedway. It's muddy and it's a river out there.
I
just can't believe how much water comes out of those mountains and runs through the pits. And there are literally 1 foot deep trenches going through the pits from the water runoff, which. Oh. Isn't a big deal because with the grader and the scraper, Todd and Ernie and Ken, they'll grade that whole place. But you just can't imagine how much rain we got and how much water it runs out of those mountains. It's amazing.
So, but what's the condition of the track today?
Ironically enough, the track is in really good condition. Okay. Todd has all the drains open. It's draining really well. And for the people that didn't know, last time we were out there, we raised all the K-rail. Placed all the K-rail back up after we laser leveled turns 1 and 2 the same height as turns 3 and 4. Mm. And we actually added about a foot of banking in the racetrack.
Wow.
And if we keep this up, I think we're going to start to refer to that racetrack as the Barona Bullring.
Yeah, if you get the ring up there a little bit higher, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's going to make for some really good racing. But the track itself is in pretty good shape. The surrounding areas right now really need to dry out. So we're hoping Mother Nature lays off for the next couple of weeks.
Right.
So we can get some stuff done. Mm-hmm. We are very, very adamant about having at least one practice before opening night. And we don't want it to have to be the Friday night before opening night. We would like to do something a week or two in advance so we could have two practices.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there with new race cars, new IMCA stock cars. There's just a lot more people racing and people buying race cars and building race cars, and they're going to need some seat time.
Yeah, and safety's first. You know, you don't get in the cars where they can make the adjustments and do what they need to do to get ready to race the season. Yeah.
But it's just a time crunch. There's only a couple weekends before the day before race.
Yeah, there are three weekends before the opening night. So nobody's watching the Weather Channel more than Todd and Trish and myself.
I'm telling you.
But, I got to hand it to the Salazars. I was up there yesterday, and there wasn't a whole lot we could do to the racetrack or the surrounding areas. But Todd started servicing the tow truck. He's going to service the generator that runs all the lights up there, the fire crew truck. He's servicing all of that. And lo and behold, Trish has been out there with weed killer and a weed whacker every day, every weekend for the last three weekends.
Boy, she's going to get her good exercise because those weeds are growing.
Yeah, the Salazars are putting definitely putting in the time and the work to make all this happen. So there's no doubt about that.
Regarding practice, sorry.
Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. She went 8 minutes before she brought up practice.
Well, so is this
very good, Brittany?
Would we the practice before the practice before opening day? Would that be a Friday night, or would it be Saturday? So it might be a longer day.
We're hoping to make it an open practice on a Saturday.
Right on. And second follow-up question, where do people find, if there's a practice, the Facebook page?
Yeah, we will definitely announce it. Trish will put it on the website. We will put it on Facebook. We will put it on Instagram. If I have to personally call or text everybody that I can, I'll do that as well.
Okay.
But we will definitely make it viewable, and then obviously word of mouth is going to travel like wildfire.
Yeah,
yes.
Because I know everybody out there wants a little seat time. Everybody wants to make sure their hot rods are dialed in the way they want them.
Right.
And nobody wants to practice before the opening weekend more than we do.
Yeah.
And maybe to the listeners, and it might be easier said than done, but if they do have to retract because of Mother Nature, we're not going to be mean about it. Okay,
yes.
Listeners, okay, racers and crew members, because it's Mother Nature. We can't control it.
Mark,
we all want
Mark
it.
Can do some wonderful things, but he has nothing to do with Mother Nature.
No, there's not a darn thing I can do for her or to her to make it not rain.
But maybe if we are respectful and we come in big numbers, we can have maybe a few more practices.
Hey, yep. I've got an idea, Mark. Let's do the Brittany plan.
What's that?
So 2 weeks before the first race, every night is practice.
What?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Then that way you got plenty of practice.
Yeah. I wish it was that easy. It takes a lot of prep, a lot of fuel.
Oh, it's so easy. Hey, we see it. It's so easy. You can do it on one foot. You don't even need help.
Layers of sarcasm, listeners.
Tons.
Oh, yeah.
Tell
poor Todd Salazar and Ken about prepping the track.
Yeah, every night. I just heard a thud. I think that was Salazar falling out of his chair.
Yeah, that was Todd falling over.
Yeah.
It sounds like some people got to get out on the track last night at Coco Paw.
Oh, Coco Paw?
Yeah, I think they raced. Yeah. I was communicating back and forth with Sonny Trent.
Ah.
The night did not go as she was hoping.
Well, it does happen.
Yeah.
I did see that she made the travel over there. I think she finished 15th or 16th, but... you know what? She doesn't have a lot of time in that sport mod.
Mm. Right. She wanted to get...
I personally think it was a great idea for her to go over there and run that track.
Absolutely.
Yeah, seat time.
It's a whole nother animal, according to her. And unfortunately, car got almost totaled on the first lap.
Oh, no,
yes.
I didn't hear that.
That's why I said, no, I'm sorry. But I said, luckily you have so many people who love you and will help you get back out on the track.
Yes.
And she agreed, because I think she's got a lot of people rooting for her.
Yeah. Well, she's at least
so good. She's so good and so humble.
She's got that out of the way. Now she's got that out of the way.
Yeah, she's got that out of the way.
Now she's got the rest of the season. So... anything different for the fans coming out to the track? Any new additions? Any subtractions?
Margarita machine for the fans?
No margarita machines. But we're gonna involve the fans, the spectators, a little bit more this season. Dirt Dude's gonna interact with them a little bit more. We're gonna have some things to throw out to the fans. Things like that. We're trying to make it all about drivers, their sponsors, and our fans. I mean, they're the ones that are bringing the fans out. The fans are paying the money to come see some racing, so we got to involve them as well.
I know, as a fan of maybe other things, it's always fun to know about the competitors. And it sounds like you guys have been proactive about spotlighting racers on the Facebook page. Do you want to expand on that?
Well, I want to expand on, because I want to know if you have filled out your driver's card and sent it in yet.
No, I got about two-thirds of the way through, and then I had to get back. No, I did. It took a long time, and then I had to get back to class.
Is it a
big
car?
I think I have to start. There's a lot of questions, and I was trying to be thorough, and I just ran out of time, and then when I went back to it, it was gone. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to do all of them, but we definitely – so here's the deal, Brittany. No practice for Brittany until she finishes.
Well,
it'll be done tonight.
Oh, she just pulled it out of her
full time.
She just pulled it out of her
at
wallet.
At a school that's falling apart. So,
and that's one reason we want that is because we're going to talk about the drivers. If there's a yellow flag, Dirt Dude's going to be out talking about these guys, and if God forbid if Brittany's in a wreck and she can't continue the race.
Again? Jeez.
We're going to talk about Brittany. We're going to make sure her sponsors get highlighted. Yeah. We're going to make sure she gets highlighted. You know, I mean, she paid the money to race. Unfortunately, she's not going to race. I'm sorry to use you as an example, but
it's all right. She's here. You know, the other thing you can do too, I mean, you've got a 15-minute segment that you guys can use for whatever you want to use it for. You can highlight a driver. You can highlight a sponsor. You could highlight, have him actually physically come in. Have Paul Dyke come in. And because nobody's, done as much for the track as Dyke.
And, agreed.
And then also young drivers, older drivers. I mean, and I mean make them physically come into the studio to get that experience. Not calling in from their house sitting on a couch.
No, I agree. Once you're face to face with you and Brittany, you really get involved, and it's fun.
And it's fun.
And get the sponsors in there; they can experience being in a radio station.
Right.
For sure.
So that door is open to you anytime. Same thing with TV. You got to let Brittany know for radio and me know for TV.
I will be contacting you both then, because
if we cross our rods, there's sparks. It is ugly. It is ugly, man. It's just like bacon frying.
That's beautiful. What do you mean, ugly?
Yeah, I thought about it just as I said it. So the bacon.
Maybe we need a bacon vendor at Barona.
Oh, don't. No. That she'll never drive again. She'll be over
there. I'll be working the booth.
She'll be working the bacon booth, let me tell you.
I can hear it now. Brittany's Barona bacon.
Yeah.
Booth.
I was thinking about that last word, too. Hey, Racing starts April 1st. Be there, be square.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys so much for what you guys do.
Our pleasure. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. I think we've got Don Kazarian on the line, and he's going to give us the latest update on Paris Auto Speedway right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Segment's brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway, 18700 Lake Paris Road. And I tell you, their schedule's out. They're getting ready to rock and roll. And we've got Don Kazarian on the line. Don's going to kind of give us an update on where they're at with the state of California because we're having a little DW water department issue. Don, how are you doing today?
Good, Dave. How are you?
Doing just fantastic. So, I'm sure the rains we've had kind of made you sit up at the edge of your chair.
Yeah, I think in 28 years, this might be the wettest winter we've had out there. I mean, it's been incredible. And I got to hand it to Charlie and Coach. I mean, they did a great job. I was away for a little bit. And, of course, the pump failed in the first storm, so it took 4 weeks to get parts for it. So we had quite a lake. We could have boat races out there.
I've seen boats out there on your track.
Yeah.
Cars smashing through
them. Yeah, but they're dragging behind another car. So how are we doing with the state of California?
We're still battling. We actually now have a court date this year, finally. It's scheduled to go to trial the first week of September. And that's the good news. And hopefully it can be resolved before we get to that date.
Right. So meanwhile, nobody's digging anything up, correct?
No. Last July they said they were going to start in January. Then came, October, November. And then they said they were going to start in July of this year.
Uh-huh.
Now they're saying maybe October. probably going to be next year.
Yeah, probably so.
You know, this project's been in the planning for almost 11 years now.
Oops.
So, so we are, we've got our full schedule out. We're opening
Excellent.
Up this next Saturday night with our very popular Night of Destruction show. And we will be running till mid-November, like we usually do.
That's fantastic. And I'm telling you, folks, if you've never been to this track, and I don't even think I can pick out one particular night that's better than any other night, well, except Night of Destruction. If you want some total insanity, you know, the Joey Chitwoods of days gone by, that night is wild. But you have so many great, great races and traditions throughout the year. You know, it's hard to beat a night at Paris.
You know, our regulars, there's two things missing on the schedule this year. The World of Outlaws decided not to come out west in March, which was probably a smart idea on their part.
Yeah.
Now, because last year they had half of their races rained out, and we hardly had any rain.
Right.
Last year they probably would have had their almost entire West Coast schedule rained out with all the rain California's had. So they'll be back out in Northern California in September, but they will not be coming to Southern California, which it kind of hurts, but life will go on. And we do not have our Oval Nationals on the schedule this year. That race, when we first started it, we averaged about 80 cars, and it's been dwindling down into the low 40s, high 30s. And I'll be brutally honest with you, broadcasting on Flow Sports didn't drive the front gate.
Yeah.
People stayed home and watched it at home. And when you post a $118,000 purse and, the people don't show up, that's a bad way to end the season. So for this year, there will be no 3-day Oval Nationals, unless I get lucky and come up with a generous sponsor.
Right.
And, but I think it was the right and prudent thing to do financially. The first and foremost is to keep the track financially viable as we continue to fight, that was a hard decision to make, but I had to make it.
And you know what? I think if you really sat down and talked to any of the fans and explained the whole situation to them, they would totally understand. It's not, will this be done forever? No. Like you said, get a good sponsor, get a big corporation that's willing to, to write a check like they did back in the day. Because, we're still trying to reel back from this this COVID. And I don't think we're right there yet. I think maybe 24, possibly 25. Hopefully everything will be pretty close to what it was before.
Yeah, and I'm still very optimistic about this year. We still have got one of the best racetracks on the West Coast. And, if nobody's come out and seen the USAC CRA 410 Sprint Car Show, if you come out and watch that, you will become a race fan. Yeah. And if you come out and watch the Night of Destruction, which we say is the craziest show on dirt, it is a great family show.
Yes.
And you're guaranteed to see action. There are no yellow flags in this style of racing.
That's what I
it's
love.
Either green or red.
Funny. It's so funny. Someone could be spun around backwards, they're still going.
They're still going.
They're still going.
Well, once a racer, always a racer.
We've got our PASCAR street stock and super stock and American factory stock divisions, along with IMCA modifieds. Any Saturday night you come to Paris, you're going to see a great show.
Yeah, it's a big track. It's hooked up. It's banked. It's always a good show.
And the stands are pointing the right direction. You're not going to get the sun baking you and stare into the sunset. I know we all like sunsets and kitties.
Just turn around and look.
Yeah, but this way it works so much better.
And they got music playing between races and good food. And I'm pretty sure they have sangria. I'm just saying I heard.
Somebody told you that.
So they got a lot. And the bathrooms. There's so many bathrooms.
And they're clean.
Oh, my gosh. They're clean, but there's so many of them, ladies.
That's for women.
It's really nice.
And the men, we don't know. Ours are nice, too.
It's nice.
Yeah.
And it's easy. It's right off the freeway.
I got to tell you a funny story. My mom and dad came out one night, and you know, we average 48% women in our stands, which is pretty high for a dirt track.
Yeah.
And we had the Bud girls there, and of course they were nicely dressed in very tall high heels. And she looked at me, she goes, "Why are those girls wearing high heels to a dirt track?" And I said, "Well, Mom, they're working.
They're working, they're Mom. And they're good at it. They absolutely know.
They practice.
They do know how to do it. The other thing I like about your is the 4th of July, where that's you do a really, really good fireworks show. You ever seen their fireworks?
I've been there for 4th of July.
It's been amazing.
I have. Yeah. Steve and I went up there pre-COVID.
Yep, pre-COVID. So right now, the COVID thing kind of got away from, you know, going up to the booth and buying a ticket. You kind of tested the waters
as far as
buying online tickets. I think Scott was telling me that's become so successful that that's just about the best way to get a ticket to Paris Auto Speedway.
Yeah. You know, we went from a very low percentage of pre-sales, and when we opened up and everything went to pre-sales, people got used to it. You know, they don't have to stand in line. It's a quicker process even getting through the front gate by scanning the tickets.
Yeah.
And, our tickets are available on tix.com, and they're available up to noon on race day. And, you know, pre-buy your tickets.
Yeah.
Were you doing that with food, too?
Oh, God, that was a nightmare.
Okay, you were. That was your track. Okay.
Yes. When we opened up, we had an app for people to order from. And, of course, within the first 15 minutes, the app crashed.
Ah.
And we didn't know what to expect. We had a stock car program running that night. And so we planned for it, and the crowd was triple the size of normal because people wanted to get out and do something. And I honestly thought we were going to have a riot that night because, you know, they couldn't get their food. And
over a churro. There was going to be a riot over a churro.
Yeah, you know, and here you could, at that point, you could drive down the street and go to a drive-thru and they could hand you the food right out of the window, but they weren't allowed to even go up and pick their food up from the window.
Oh,
we had to go place it on tables with names on it and walk away.
God.
And walk away.
It was just a nightmare.
Okay.
But
that's the past.
We did perfect it, you know, for the first 3 or 4 months that we had to do that. And but we don't offer that service anymore.
Good. I don't blame you. I wouldn't.
Good riddance.
Yeah, but it's so strange how track food tastes so good.
Always say this, Dave.
I know. There's just something about it.
If you want, I can throw dirt. Like the next time you sit down at the restaurant, call me over. I'll just throw some dirt at you and your food. And
I'll probably be fine.
I don't know.
The smells, too. You got to have the smells.
Okay. I'll bring a gas can, too.
All right. Bring a gas can.
All right.
So.
You need methanol.
Yeah. Now we're talking. Yeah. I had a bunch of that on TV this morning, man. I was in heaven. I loved it. So, classes are look. I mean, as far as car counts, are they looking pretty good for 23?
I think they're going to be way up. We've had quite a few new cars out practicing when we were able to practice this off season. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised, and everybody's excited. And like I said, we're 6 days away from throwing the first green flag.
Yeah.
A lot of work to do.
I think people are still pent up, you know, not being able to go places, do things.
Have you heard of, is there a tire shortage? I haven't gotten that far in my progress of getting ready for opening day. I was just going to grind.
I think that might be behind us. There was a Hoosier tire shortage last year for the sprint car divisions. But I think this year there'll be plenty of tires available.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for the good news.
Well, it just takes a while to get caught up. I mean, there's so many variables that cause that problem that it just took time. And I think you're right. I think there's more new drivers coming to tracks than ever before. Whether that's because they were pent up for 2 years, but I think the divisions are all growing.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Mojave Valley. I mean, he's been up in the low 90s for every one of his shows in the last couple months. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, that is a good sign because, you know, we got Imperial Valley. I think they down in El Centro. I mean, I know they just opened up, and their car counts, I mean, I think they're restricted to sprint cars, right?
I think they were emphasizing that, yeah.
So they're even thinking about spreading it out. So anytime you can hear of a track that's open and alive and well, you got to go to it, you know?
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, without a shadow. Well, now that I know that we're good, you know, at Paris Auto Speedway at least till September and maybe beyond.
No, we're good through the whole year.
Well, then you want people to, you think they should still make the phone calls?
You know, I mean, if they want to, that's great.
But otherwise, kind of hold off a little bit.
No, and you know, we're still conversing with some of our state officials,
okay,
and hoping they can, you know, push these guys to the table,
right?
And so, you know, I can't even tell you how well they responded last year when we went public with this. And
really?
Right now, I mean, it's going through the legal process,
right,
which is sometimes painfully slow.
But you know, you know what, Don? You know, when you put the word out for everybody to call, I think, you know, everybody says, my phone call doesn't work. They don't listen to me. I don't think it makes any difference. I think with the amount of phone calls they got, I think they realize this is way more of an important topic than what they thought. And I think that might be why you're getting the responses you're getting.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt. I mean, we've got open lines of communication with
That's
most
excellent.
Of our state representatives. Right. And so, you know, it did achieve what we were looking to do. Because, I mean, before that, nobody was talking to us.
No, I know. I know that. That's yeah. But you rallied the troops, so hats off to you and your team. We can't thank you enough keeping that track alive and well, and we will definitely see you this season.
Sounds great.
Take care, buddy, and say hi to the wife.
I will. All right. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a whole lot more Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer. Thank you, Brendan.
This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, right out there in North Woodside Avenue in Santee, 619-444-7170.
Go ahead.
Now, who's that singing?
It's Sprung again, but what Brendan doesn't even realize, the most trouble I get into... Well, he's sitting right next to me.
Is what?
Is with my dad.
Oh.
This is about getting in trouble. And
with your dad?
That you get into. You mean I get
I've
into.
Been chased by a couple helicopters.
With all the guns.
I've had a couple shotguns pulled on me.
Her.
Yeah.
I've all
so
those
why
are
you
always
keep
I've been kicked
him?
I've been kicked out of a bar.
Her.
Him.
No, that happens to me by myself.
Both helicopters were you, both shotguns were you.
I'm with her.
The
guns her.
Were her. The bar,
chased
the bar, her,
him.
Now, when you take your lovely wife out, you never have a problem.
Exactly.
I'm trying to tell you. I don't know what she's not preaching to the choir here.
I know.
Did you get through all your sponsors?
And everybody misunderstands that innocent face as being.
Oh, I know. Doesn't she come
that?
Across
crossing the freeway?
Doesn't she you? Come across that little mousy face with that?
No,
who me?
Yeah, exactly. Boy, you are climbing the wrong tree. All right. So people that don't know who Valentino is he still with us?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, not only is he still with us, but guys has an effect on MotoGP probably like nobody else will because...
He's not riding anymore, right?
He's not riding anymore, but he has his own team this year in MotoGP.
So he has his own.
The world champion is from his school, his VR46 school.
So why don't you get a hold of him and have him call in?
Because he would have, I called him today, but he said, you bought the cheap helmet, so I'm not calling in. What is that?
He's a
superstar. You would think of all the high maintenance I have from having Ducatis, I would.
You would think that.
Have a gimme.
Yeah. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you?
I wanted to know, I don't think I've ever asked you this. What turned you on to him? Was there like a race, a move, something he said in an interview? What caught your eye initially?
So when he first started racing when he was 16, you know, they all race on a little 125 two-strokes.
This is a long time ago.
And he would go to the back and then go to the front. Go to the back and go to the front.
On
well,
purpose,
the announcers
you're saying.
Are going, well, there must be something wrong with that kid's bike. It's like, no. Anyway, so he did it a couple races, and finally the announcers figured out when the race director said, stop doing that. You're making everybody feel bad about themselves.
No, at 16, he's but doing
then,
this?
Then I saw him at a race. This is when I told my wife, that guy is going to be something. He hit this chicane. It must have been probably in Holland at Assen. But his bike flew up off the ground and turned around backwards.
Oh.
And before he went into the giggle bushes, he waved at the guy in second. And soon I went,
it
I
crashed.
Love this guy.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
really positive, too, isn't he, with the interviews
well, that's
and with
the thing.
Spectators.
Yeah, that's the thing about him. You know, when he's a racer. He's just a happy.
He's just a racer first.
He's a happy guy going fast.
And he recently retired. How old was he? Was he 40s?
He was in his 40s.
Yeah. I was going to say 43, but.
Yeah.
Where does he live?
He lives in Italy.
He's an Italian.
He's
he
an
is
Italian,
their hero.
Through and through. But the cool thing about his school, he patterned it after the school that Kenny Roberts had called the Ranch. And in fact, a really hilarious interview was that Nick Einich. He says, well, I taught Valentino Rossi how to slide because the other instructor said, this is how you throw guys off. And he kept saying, Nick, go out there. And he goes, Valentino, go, ride, throw him off. And he threw him off into the same bush all the time. But that, he didn't think that up. That idea up. We had it here already. But, I mean, how does a guy put four of his students into the highest motorcycle racing in, like, 10 years? Guy's got four guys racing, and Banyaya is one of his students. He's the world champion this year.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, he might know something, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might know something.
Are you continuing to watch MotoGP?
Oh, sure.
Okay, even without him?
Because.
Because of his racer.
Who's your new favorite?
Well, his students, I bet.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the cool thing about Ducatis. Everybody gets on them now and goes fast, which is a great thing when, you know, they can finally pay their bills. They build motorcycles. But the last time when Rossi was on a Ducati, that's when we went to Indianapolis to watch him. Oh. And Nicky Hayden was his teammate. And that guy, he knows how to make a motorcycle work. So if Nicky Hayden and Valentino Rossi back then couldn't make those Ducatis go,
yeah,
those were bad motorcycles.
Yeah. Yeah. So can you tell the listeners one more time about this book, please, if they're interested?
The name? Yeah, so the book, this is my book report. Is Valentino Rossi All His Races by Matt Oxley. It's a big book with lots of pictures.
It's called
in
a
it.
Coffee table book.
It's a coffee table book.
And if you go to motorbooks.com or quattro.com, find that book. And as you're checking out, if you go stall, STALL 11, you'll get a 25% discount.
Oh, that's
off
a
the
big
book.
One.
That's a beautiful
that's a
thing.
One.
And you can tell, I know you can't see it here, folks, because we're on radio, but the quality of the book is impeccable. I'm not a fan of big books like that, but because of the photos, there's no way you can get away from it.
Yeah. Well, I like reading books.
Oh, I do too. I would rather. Or something. There have been times when people have called me up and says, hey, Dave, you want to go to lunch? And if I'm in the middle of a good book, I got a meeting.
Have you ever done that to me, Dad?
He's not going to admit that. You notice he got real quiet?
Yes. He's thinking.
Well, the reason I have to do that is that
well,
if you ever wanted to make your lunch or dinner bill exponentially expensive.
You invite me?
Oh, you give her the wine list, and then
you're
done.
Well, and not only that, I mean... Yeah, you can't keep
going. No problem,
going.
Brittany. I'll pay. I'll have the lobster.
But you can't keep going to jail.
Exactly.
You have to stay away from this girl.
I'm too old to go to jail.
I know. You got to find
somebody.
I'd
love to say, Mom, can you help me out here? But she's never there.
Oh, so she never.
Well, Mom has already figured it out.
She never told you about being surrounded by six.
Yeah.
Six?
Two Border Patrol. two sheriffs, two highway patrol.
That was one of the shotguns. Yeah,
and then there was that park cop that was there.
What were you doing?
We were hiking. We were literally hiking, but someone told a elaborate story otherwise that we were the coyotes that the sheriffs were trying to catch.
Oh.
So by the time we got back from the hike, there was a shotgun pulled on us, and we're like,
so you're coyote material.
That's what they thought. We were the two coyotes bringing all the drugs and
you
people
don't
over.
Look anything
I know,
like a coyote,
but
your dad does.
Hey, Dave. It never happened to me when I was alone.
That's what I'm saying, man.
So,
I'm telling you.
We decided to go get ice cream, and we never got to the ice cream because we were pulled over and surrounded. True story. What was this about 10 years ago? Yeah.
So this happens a lot, I see.
It started when I was 5, riding out Santee on my like YZ50. And the sheriff sent there. I'm up to 100 now. KX100. But the Santee sent their sheriff out in the helicopter to chase down a 5-year-old and her dad. And then
he's putting it on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Then when I was in 8th grade, I was salutatorian. So to reward me on that, he rented a Porsche 911 for 24 hours.
And she drove it.
And we went to jail again.
Well, once we got out there, he pulled over because I was riding motorcycles, so I knew how to change gears and stuff. And we're going down something, Sunrise Highway or something. And he's like, pull over under the tree. Don't you see the helicopter waiting for us at the end of this road?
They have already put the word out.
Yeah. So.
And you
anyhow,
haven't grown up yet.
How can you grade him on his book report? So I don't have to? Because I'm biased.
I definitely give him an A.
All right.
And I do it for enthusiasm more than anything.
He was so excited to get that book.
Well,
and
it's
then,
his. It's his for as long as he wants it.
He's a huge fan, but it is a nice looking
book.
But
if I get any more motorcycle books, in fact, I'll definitely, because I still have a stack like this I haven't read yet. But I get everything. It's crazy. But if you like to read.
He loves to read.
I've got some books
he's
that you might
reading.
Enjoy. All right, folks. That was Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.